Every play, every stat, every breakdown, on their own they're essential, but altogether they're undeniable. Introducing Huddle Instat, a new advanced data platform that integrates with sports code and every Huddle product you rely on to create an all-in-one data powerhouse. Huddle Instat's advantaged tagging and next-level stat reports help you develop your team, and its global film library helps you find the missing pieces to get the most out of every second of film. Learn more at huddle.com/aquicktimeout.
Sort of a crossover episode today on a Quick Timeout podcast. I want to welcome to the show associate head coach for the Chapman University Panthers and co-host of Slapping Goss podcast, Dan Krikori. And coach, welcome to the show.
Tony, thanks for having me. Fan of your work and all you do. So it's fun to say crossover and come on the show today.
I appreciate it. I know I love it when people ask me to come on their show, and it's a totally different feel when you're not the one asking the questions. And I've heard Dan talk on several podcasts, so I know this is going to be great.
Thank you.
Any number of topics that we could talk with Coach today about, but I decided to go with something that I believe I only talked about once on this show, and it's been a while. I want to talk a little bit about European flow offense. Coach, why don't you just start with giving kind of a brief introduction and breakdown as to what that means?
To me, what that means, I guess, in the way we would run it, the way we've seen it run, is you're kind of like a too big offense where you're constantly playing empty side ball screens, balls being swung out of that empty side ball screen to opposite slot, and whether it's a four or five, and then getting into some similar type continuity on the backside, you know, 45 cutting that wing player and then playing to a two-man game again. And then, of course, there's a million variations that you can get into out of it and different things that you do. And so I think on the basis, you can imagine, I know Gonzaga was great at it here in the States for many years, running it kind of too big offense in that flow. And you see it all the time in Europe, Australia national team. I mean, it's kind of everywhere in bits and pieces. And, you know, just a brief overview of kind of visualizing what it looks like.
So I'm going to ask you about several things that you just said there. How long have you been running this?
I'd say a good 6-7 years. It's been one of our base offenses, you know, so we do other stuff as well, but it's something that we definitely have gone to and then added packages around for 6-7 years. I would say at least, maybe more, maybe less, but I'd put it somewhere in there.
I have found, and it seems to be, that more coaches are doing what you just described in regards to, they kind of have this base of an offense that somebody else does, and then they like to pick and choose. I think sometimes maybe that's personnel-based. I think there's a personality of the coach maybe too, that they like certain things over others. Is there anything that now 6 years in, if you could go back and talk to year one coach, that you would say, this is the biggest thing or the thing that I would encourage you to do differently or to do from the start?
Yeah, well, I think the thing from the start and now, that when you put in, let's say, the Euroflow motion offense, the nice thing about it for a coach is you feel a little sense of control is not the right word, but there is a flow to it. You know, players know where they're going. They know where they're cutting. It looks nice. It's a beautiful looking offense. And as a coach, it's like almost like a safety blanket of knowing, hey, the offense looks organized. But the downside or this thing about that is getting too robotic, is players just running an offense just purely to run it and not looking to use advantages wherever they are, and then learning how to play out of those. And I think 6-7 years in, what I've hopefully gotten better at is teaching when, how, where to attack and use an advantage, and then how to then play out of that, right? It's always like the next thing that coaches are trying to teach. And so going back, you know, when you first see it and you first put it in, and, you know, if you put it in 5-on-0 and you get groups going, it's like, wow, this, it looks beautiful. It looks great. The players pick it up, especially at our level, I know college level, they pick it up pretty quickly. But then it's okay, what happens if you're denied? Okay, what happens if this is taken away? And, you know, we don't want to just run this 25 seconds in the shot clock and then take an ISO step back jumper. That's not what we're running it for. So that would be something I would say to any coach putting it in. It's something I like have to check with myself all the time, is like, don't get caught up in that. It looks nice. Let's make sure we're creating advantages, keeping the advantage, and, you know, creating the next one.
I haven't run this before. I've just seen some teams run before, so correct me if I'm wrong. A little bit of you are able to surrender some control to the players if you're going to be effective in running it. But it's yep. not I wonder sometimes when people hear, you know, any kind of conceptual based offense, it almost sounds like the coach has no control over anything. And that sounds a little bit too scary, especially if I'm coaching younger players.
Right.
There's kind of a happy medium between these two. Like there's a pattern that goes along with it. But then if you're going to be able to do it effectively, they do have to make certain reads. Otherwise, it's probably going to be at some point somewhat easy to stop or scout or deny for something sure. that happens within it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it on its highest level, the Euroflow motion becomes a lot of times, I mean, it is a series of two-man games on one side with the option of a three-man game on the other side. And, you know, we do a ton of teaching on all the things that you can do out of it. And so really what the structure and the flow is nice is when players get lost or, you know, they just they make a cut or whatever it is. And the game is not perfect. You and I know it's not supposed to be perfect. This Euroflow can help them get back to a sense of structure of where to be, where to space to, you know, who to play with that we like. This is like one of our base offenses. This isn't the only one. And what's nice, though, is with the other couple that we have, teaching this Euroflow motion helps bleed over into another couple of the offenses we have as far as cutting actions, handoff actions, three-man game types of situations. And so it's been useful for that because it's helped in teaching other parts of the game for us too.
Yeah, I found that especially for our offense, we've done this too. But when people hear three base offense, I wonder if they're thinking like, okay, so they run this and then they run flex offense and then they run.
Right.
The best offenses have tied those things together.
Yeah.
That's what you guys have done.
100%. Yeah, that's... And like this is tied to a couple of the other ones and where, you know, maybe to someone that outside of our program might watch us play and it might all just look very much almost the same in one, which is perfect, which yeah. is what we would like if we're doing our job well is, you know, sometimes we're in Euroflow, sometimes we're in our other more just four out, five out offense. Sometimes we're more of a dribble drive type, you know, and this is what all teams, I think at good levels do is they kind of blend it and then we know what we're doing or what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. And hopefully it's harder to scout, you know, that's the hope. I'm not yeah. sure how good we are all the time, but that's the hope.
No, I watched yesterday. I watched, I think 20, 25 clips of you guys. And it was what you just described. Like there were times where it was clear that that's what you were doing. And yep. then it morphed into, there was some five out. You sometimes came down in transition, not doing that. And then it correct. Just seamlessly flowed into it. And there was the pace that was kept that I know a lot of, you know, pace, space, that kind of thing that we absolutely. Want throughout the entire possession. And you guys did a great job with it.
Thank you.
For those that are just listening to this, Coach is going to show some film. And so I'll let him do this while I'm just kind of rambling here. But if something like two or three clips, something that would maybe the things that we just described there of these are two or three clips of our best or would show a good introductory for if somebody has never seen something like this before. And then you can talk about within that, these are the things that made those two or three possessions effective or why I've chosen this clip to show.
It's not necessarily our film, but this is film from a big breakdown. We put together Slapping Glass, not to rep that at all, but this is just showing all the different types of things that happen within the offense. All we did like a whole like 30 minute thing on just the different actions you can do on the two man side and the three man side. So this is, I mean, just a couple of clips of just a base part of what it looks like where you're going to have an empty side two man game. This team's coming down here in just a kind of more of a transition look, but you can see how they get into it. You got three away deep corner 45, and then you've got your opposite big in the slot and they're going to play to this empty side first, nothing there. They quickly reverse it. You see they get this 45 or this burn cut through. They play to that next side, and now the whole thing kind of repeats again where this big comes back. He's coming back right to the middle. Sometimes we want them to come closer to the slot, and you can just play that action again on the backside, and then, of course, just kind of play out of it to whatever it gives you. So just seeing it again, pick and roll entry, coming out, flown into it, don't have anything. There's a 45 and the whole thing just repeats on that backside. The one thing I've always loved about it personally is And Tony, I don't know about you, but sometimes the harder things to guard are those empty corner pick and rolls where the tag, you know, on the other side's really got to come over. If you got a big that pick and pops really well, not having someone in that strong side corner sometimes presents challenges. And so this offense is just continually putting teams in empty pick and rolls. And if it the ball is moved fluidly and the ball is moved side to side pretty quickly, what it does do is it can make it really difficult to get into like ice or drop coverage for the big because they have to go such a long distance to cover from side to side. And so there's just a lot of really nice options out of it. So you can imagine here, like for a big, even if it's a handoff to get all the way from here into like maybe an ice or drop position, and they do it to do teams do a good job. That's where, you know, if we're able to get it to a third side or whatever and really make the bigs work, you're playing against switches or you're playing against, you know, situations where maybe they're more advantageous. So this is just a couple of clips of just the sort of base offense and how you can play to a DHO, how you can play to a on ball. And then I'll pause it here for questions because basically the rest of the 30 minutes are just variations that you can run out of it.
I'll echo exactly what you said. We tried to initiate this a little bit more in our half court because there is no tag on the backside. You basically have the entire half court to do whatever you want to. I know most teams will roll the big in that two-man action to the front of the rim. We had the luxury this year. We had a seven-footer who was one of our top three shooters on our team. And so love just that. Spacing him all the way out to the wing, all the way to the corner, and there's nobody there. But I also think on the other side of the floor, too, you have those trips on the other side, and I would assume that the coach is yelling for the low man to come over and help, and then it's giving up exactly what everybody yells not to give up, which is the corner three over in the far corner of the court. So the combination of those two things, I feel like, makes it extremely dangerous, especially if you have a guy that can pop out to the corner after setting the ball screen.
You're so right. And that's something that, you know, we didn't necessarily have. We had one that got injured this year, but a pick and pop five or four.
I'm sure that completely transforms the offense if you have the ability to do that.
And that's the fun part about this. And I think this is coaches watching kind of see the motion and go, okay, get the motion and how to install it. But then the fun part is, of course, well, who are your guys or girls and what can they do? And do you have a four or five that can pick and pop? And there's so many actions you can do. If you have more of a roller, then working on being a great roller, slip, handoff person, you know, and we certainly had both this year and have had both in the last 6 or 7 years. And so as the season progresses, our guys know who's maybe a popper, who's maybe a roller. You know, of course, we want to mix it up based off of coverages. And then you're teaching, okay, what are they doing? How do you attack this type of coverage and play out? And that's the fun part just with the fours and fives.
Do you do anything other than burn, or primarily, are you just burning the middle of those trips over on the far side?
Yeah. And so that's the fun part is, no, we're not just 45. And that's where I'd say the first part of the season is we are teaching just that 45, just to really get that cut down, to work on opening space. But then as the season progresses, we add in about four or five other things that guard can do, which are they can come for a handoff. So when we hit that big and reverse instead of 45, and like you're seeing right there, they can come right for a handoff, and we're playing our kind of shake action where we can roll and then rise up from the corner on that backside, or he can rescreen and play pick and pop, you know, all these fun little things you can do off of a hand, off of a handoff. We can fake that handoff and play right back to the two man side. So instead of giving that handoff to the 45, we'll pull it over the top, play right back to the empty corner. And it's another way to get an empty corner look, but instead of a 45, you play through a handoff, which is sometimes effective with teams that are point switching this. They get used to just trying to switch out on the 45 and take that away. And all of a sudden you send them off for a handoff and you can catch that low man, maybe flat footed and attack that baseline. So the fake handoff's a nice thing, or we can go right into zoom or splits. So you know, you can imagine all the millions of little possibilities in the zooms or splits there that we like. And so these are things that as our players get better at this, they can just do it themselves. Mm-hmm. Or from the bench, we can dictate based off of a coverage we think that defense is playing, hey, we're going to play more to splits, we're going to play more to handoffs or more 45s, and try to mix it up in the flow of the game. And that can be triggered by just a single word from the bench, and our guys at later in the season are better at that.
A Quick Timeout podcast is presented by Dr. Dish Basketball. Dr. Dish machines are the most advanced shooting machines on the market. If you haven't already, join top programs like the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Duke Blue Devils, and countless others, and upgrade to Dr. Dish Basketball. And now, save an extra $300 on select models when you mention Quick Timeout Podcast. To find out more, visit drdishbasketball.com.
Hey coaches, we know you're invested in the next generation of athletes, so why not give them the star treatment this season with Game Changer? Introducing Game Changer, a free app that provides you with data to make strategic decisions and to deliver memorable moments to your team and its fans. Keep parents, friends, and supporters engaged like never before. With Game Changer's free live streaming, fans can catch every jump shot, every steal, every victory from the palm of their hand, no matter where they're at. And with real-time scorekeeping and detailed star tracking, fans get live score updates while you get stats for your team that can build all season long. Post-game, you and your staff can review full game footage while your athletes get automatically generated highlight clips of every scoring play, assist, rebound, steal, and block. Engage your players, empower your coaching decisions, and give the thrill of watching every play unfold in real time this season. Download Game Changer now on iOS or Android. Game Changer equips your team with the tools they need to succeed. Download it today and make this season one for the books. Game Changer. Stream, score, connect.
I know this can be based off personnel, but as I watched those clips yesterday, I noticed some actions that were more prominent than others or more reoccurring than others.
Sure.
Is there anything like that that comes to mind that you feel it could have been just this last year? And like I said, based off of personnel, but yeah, it could also be now that I've run this 6 years, these things right now, because of the way defenses are guarding, have proven to be really effective against man-to-man defenses.
Yeah. So depending on the game you were watching, for sure, there's game to game, different calls, sets or ideas or personnel based ways to attack a defense. And so sometimes we will have where we're going to 45 more, or we're going to zoom more, or we're going to come for handoffs more. We had a couple of just great guards this year. And so in that 45 spot, if there was a certain guard there and we wanted to play to a handoff to them and then play, we would want our fours and fives. We call them quarterbacks in our offense. So this is the Euro flow part of our offense. And then we have like the five out, and those fours and fives are quarterbacks because they got to make a lot of decisions like a quarterback. And so to your point, depending on the game, it might have been a call, and it might have been specifically to attack something we thought we could attack personnel wise.
One that I saw that I really liked that we've used is when you go on that empty side and you go with the ball screen, when the ball handler rejects the screen and then drives baseline, and you have your big, which a lot of people will just pop them or space them or maybe roll them even, they would turn and set, I don't know what you call it, but we call it like that crackback screen for the guard that comes behind it. And now you have a shooter, and the defender, the big defender has to decide, do I want to go out and guard that? And if so, then you have the slip to the rim. If not, then it usually is just an effective screen. But I saw that one a couple of times. I like that one.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's both a set and a read. Okay. It's definitely a set we have, trying to get a baseline rip where then that people imagining listening to this, we will then turn and, like you said, crack back for a shooter. It's a great action just to put a lot of pressure on the defense on a baseline drive, and then the shooter coming back. And then, you know, if that big flies out to help on that shooter, we'll work on slipping to that little open pocket at the end there with the big. And it's a nice action to guard. We put that in years ago because someone else ran it against us. Like all good things, you steal them. Mm-hmm. Someone ran that against us, and it was just, we had a hard time guarding it. So we said, let's add this into our flow.
Something else that I saw that I like that I've seen more do, and I'm sad that I waited to the very end, but we waited to like two games left in the regular season before we added this, was actually a guard to guard screen. And mm-hmm. then you guys used the guard to guard screen, or even you almost ghosted it. And then you had a flare that went with it, and everything happening. Historically, a lot of our screens are like coming up from the baseline rather than like making people guard going out towards half court. I don't know if that makes sense, but that one seemed to be one that I saw a couple times as well.
Yeah, especially later in the year, that was our ghost flare action where we'd have a guard-to-guard screen coming up from the slot into the middle third, and we would ghost out of that. And this is another thing we've stolen from Europeans. Teams do this all the time to great effect. And then after they ghost it, they just fly off of a flare screen. And when you've got a really great ball handler or playmaking guard with the ball, you know, the ghost screen messes teams up all the time. Just even when teams know it coming, it's just awkward, you know, to guard if you're not ready for it. And so one, if there's an ability to penetrate off that, it's there, we'll take it. If not, going off that flare screen creates a lot of nice actions to flow into our kind of five outlook where you can hit the guy off the flare or you can hit the big to get into zoom action. I mean, there's a ton of things. And so that's where these offenses start to meld together a little bit, as you can add a little wrinkle like that. And we certainly had a couple ball handlers this year that we like to put in that action just because they could get to the rim if there was a mistake on the ghost action. Or then you can kind of get into our flow off that flare screen.
Can you go ahead and show some of that ghost flare stuff?
Yeah. So here's a couple examples from some teams that do it really well in Europe. This isn't our stuff, obviously, but just what we were talking about is there's going to be a ghost screen coming up from the middle third, and then they're going to fly off of this flare screen. And it's just great action, especially like late clock, late game, a way to get a guard to attack downhill. So here's a good look. Just ghost out of it. And if that on-ball defender, all you're looking for is what he's about to do here, is just open their stance, even the slightest, and a good ball handler to their dominant hand has all this space to go. And then, of course, as we're looking at this too, and what kind of the rest of this video goes through, this guy's left-handed, but there's a ton of space to attack into. And then, you know, the read here is if there's any help at the rim, most of the time teams are not helping off of this strong side corner. Most of the time the help is coming from the backside. And so a player going to their dominant hand, obviously they can finish, but then even the one-handed pass off the dribble, a skip to the opposite corner, has been effective for us with certain guys over the years as well. And so a ton of really good stuff out of it. And then, you know, depending on where you go with it, kind of playing into our flow concepts.
That's cool. I like that action. This has nothing to do with Euro, but this year we did something like that out of horns. I think I've seen everybody doing like horns with a flare. So
yep,
get your shooter to set the, and then what we actually did was we would run that and it would set up, then we call flare Ricky. So we'd bring that guy right back and then he'd have a shot or you'd have a slip to the rim or something like that. So just another example,
really good
of
like action,
stringing together stuff based off of wherever your players are standing, and you can do it whether you're running five out or Euro flow or
just running. That's a fun part, right? I think, like you mentioned, later in the year, having a shooter that can do that. And that's a great action too, that horn stuff you guys ran, and similar effect, right? Instead of, you know, this guy starting from the bottom and sprinting through and just being able to layer those things in as the season progresses and how teams guard you. I love your guys' zone, by the way. That's something I look at.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to talk about that at some other point there. As somebody's listening to this, this is the time of year where I've already heard coaches, I'm going to look into doing this next year. I'd like to change this up a little bit or whatever. Before somebody jumps full-fledged into listening to a 25-minute podcast, any kind of warnings, or if this offense came with a sticker like age appropriate, what would you say age appropriate for this, or
sure,
level IQ of the players, but any kind of warnings, admonitions, or anything else that would be helpful for coaches?
Yeah, so I guess like everything, level dependent. I mean, if you're teaching youth, this might be a step up from, you know, really younger teams, I would imagine. I did coach at the youth level for a long time too. And I didn't run this. I was teaching more, you know, read based and, you know, motion offenses, I would say, you know, but I definitely talk to high school coaches all the time about this and they run it to great effect. And so, you know, getting to that high school level, I think this is a great offense and up. So, you know, below that, you have to see what kind of team you have and what kind of players and all that. But starting with the high school level, I think this is terrific. At least to have in, you know, I know some coaches have this as just almost like a set, you know, they'll put it in and they're not going to build the whole offense around it, but it's something that's nice to have if they just want to go to it at some point during the game. You know, sometimes this is good to have as like almost like your run game in football. So if you want to burn some clock, if you want to make a team guard second, third, fourth side later in the game, maybe you got a lead, maybe you just got a team on the brink of breaking down defensively, and you want to just kind of, like we talk about our run game, being able to pound it inside or whatever it is. This is nice too to just have in. It's almost like teams use it as like a delay game situation. So a lot of things you can use out of it, and that would be my answer. I would say high school for sure, and then up is obviously really good.
People saw the clips if they were watching this, and they may not know where it was. So if they want to see more, where would you send them?
Yeah, so the clips that I was showing are within our Slapping Glass Plus site. But boy, we watch a lot of European basketball. People have, you know, Synergy or Huddle Instat or any of these places that have European games. I would suggest, you know, a lot of teams in Europe run it. Go back. There's some really good free stuff on YouTube on like the Australian national team that ran their Euroflow. So you don't need to, you know, go look that up. And then, of course, if you want to talk to me, please feel free to reach out and I can point you to more direct sources if need be.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell them where they can connect with you. And then also, I want you to tell people about what you have coming up at the Final Four.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. So they can connect with me or my co-host, partner with Slapping Glass, Patrick Carney, info@slappingglass.com. Send us an email, Twitter, all, you know, or X, whatever it's called now. You can follow us. Always happy to talk. And then, yeah, I'll be out the Final Four. We've got a booth at the NABC convention. So come on by, say hello. We've got some video stuff going. We'll just be kind of hanging out and talking hoops all weekend. And so, Tony, I know you'll be there doing some stuff. So I know we'll run into each other and should be a good time as always.
Yeah, really excited about this upcoming weekend here and going to be a lot of fun. And so, yeah, be sure to connect with us when you're out there. And if you're not able to make it, be sure to connect with Dan on Twitter and then also Slapping Glass, of course. That's Coach Dan Krikorian, Associate Head Coach at Chapman University and co-host of Slapping Glass. Coach, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Tony, I know we're ending. You do an awesome job. I need to say it because I know how hard it is to do all this stuff all the time. And you do a tremendous job. It's such a great thing for coaching community, the way you go about it, the way you share. I need to say it. People need to hear it from someone else that does this too. It's so hard to put it all together all the time. It's a lot of work, a lot of energy. It's a joy, of course, too, as you know. But I know how hard it is and how good a job you do. And so I hope people know that and understand it.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.